Last week we began to discuss some of the halachas and the minhagim of the penemitzarim of the 3 weeks. Now we move on to the next level of avelos, and that's the halachas and the minhagim of the 9 days. So as we pointed out last week, that the 3 weeks really are not rooted in the halacha itself. I mean, there is no gemara that talks about the different practices of the 3 weeks. They're basically minhagim, but the 9 days already, the concept of Rosh Chodesh Av, that already is a concept that exists in halacha. The gemara speaks about, the Mishnah speaks about, in the end of Masechet Tainis, Mishnah Nichnas Av Ma'atin B'Simcha, that from the beginning of Chodesh Av, so one is supposed to minimize the different things that one does in involving Simcha. So there's already a real halacha of Avelos that begins starting from Rosh Chodesh Av. Many of the practices that we have, we associate with the 9 days, many of them are in fact minhagim. That's true. We'll try to point out as we go on which are real halachas and which are minhagim. But the idea of avelos already from Rosh Chodesh Av, that exists medina de Gemara. What exactly is one not allowed to do starting from Rosh Chodesh Av? So the Gemara speaks about mematan, b'masa, b'matan, that a person is supposed to minimize the amount of business, the amount of buying and selling that one does. So there is a machlekes of Rishonim. What exactly does that mean? So some Rishonim interpret it literally that one's not supposed to buy things during the 9 days. Supposed to really cut down. You have to go to the store buy a container of milk. That's all right. But I'm saying one should really try to minimize all kinds of unnecessary business dealings during the 9 days. And other Rishonim say no, that only those types of business dealings which are simcha oriented, means if you're going to go buy stuff you need for a big party after the 9 days or something, so that kind of thing should be avoided. But you're buying just basic necessities, so even if it's not absolutely critical, you could push it off for a couple of days, but still it would be mutter. There's nothing wrong with buying things which are not in Yom Shel Simcha. So l'chatchila, one should try to avoid this, one should try to be machmir in this. Mishnah Berurah writes that many people used to be very makel on this. In Eastern Europe, it was very hard. People because you had any money for anything. So if a person, there was a good deal or something, so a person would run even during the 9 days to buy. But as much as that, it's not such a big tzarech. So unless there's some very, very great need, one should try to minimize the amount of buying and selling one does until after Tisha B'Av. The Gemara speaks about not doing construction, not building things during the Mishnah Nichnas Av. So what exactly is included in this? So this is also a big machlekes in Rishonim. What exactly are the guidelines in terms of this? So we usually assume as follows, that anything that's considered to be mamash repair, like in the sense of something dangerous, so your roof is going to collapse or something, that's okay, that you're allowed to do during the 9 days. But unnecessary type of construction, things that can be pushed off till afterwards, so why don't you try to push off until afterwards? So the Rishonim discuss what is the halacha in the following. If a person is not going to be doing the construction themselves, they're hiring a non-Jew to do the construction for them, and they hire the non-Jew in what's called Kaplonos. So Kaplonos means that I'm not paying the guy per hour, I'm paying the guy per day, I'm paying the guy for a job. So I hire a contractor from January that he should build me a house for the next year. So what's the halacha? Is he permitted to be working for me during the period of the 9 days or not? Is that considered to be unnecessary type of building? So some of you may remember, this was the shiur that was never said. That if you remember, it was 2 years ago. If I'm not mistaken, it was 2 years ago. 3 years ago. 2 years ago. Right. It was 2 years ago in June. So we were looking for something to talk about for like 3 weeks before the summer. So I thought we would talk about all issues of construction, all the issues of going and working for you on Shabbos, and working for you on Yom Tov, working on Chol Hamoed, and working for you on Tisha B'Av for the 9 days and everything. So we started to say the shiurim. So I said, I think one or two of the shiurim, and then I got sick. Then I came down with that virus. I was out, knocked out of commission for 2 weeks. So we had to cancel the last two shiurim of the year, and that topic got hanging in midair. So I don't think we're going to finish the whole topic now. We'll just allude to what I would have said in that those last 2 weeks. We'll try to say in 2 minutes now. So there was we assume as follows, Mr. Gur Faskins, that if the non-Jew was hired from beforehand, and the work actually started from beforehand, and now it comes to Chodesh Av, and the guy still wants to continue to work, so Mikra then it's mutter to let him continue to work, because just as in Ilcha Shabbos, we have this whole discussion in Ilcha Shabbos, if you hire a person from beforehand, so technically speaking, he's allowed to finish the job on Shabbos. I'll say, L'moshel, if I give in a suit to the cleaners in Erev Shabbos, so as long as I don't tell him, you have to do it on Shabbos, if I give it to him a minute before Shki on Friday, and I say, I need it the second after Avdol, so Shabbos, that's the problem. But the Mishnah says, in the beginning of Masechet Shabbos, if I give it to him, the option, I give it to him early on Friday, or I give it to him late on Friday, and tell him I don't need it till Monday afternoon or something, so akamadai to the nafshik of it, that he's working at his own pace. I'm not paying him to work on Shabbos, I'm paying him to clean the suit. If he chooses to clean the suit on Shabbos, that's his own scheduling. So that, technically speaking, is not a problem in terms of Ilcha Shabbos. Even though that's true in terms of Ilcha Shabbos in general, when it comes to construction and building, those kinds of things. So that is potentially problematic on Shabbos for other reasons. There are issues of Maris Ayin involved, others, those are Shabbos, other reasons why the halacha prohibits that. So if you remember from those shirim, the part of the shirim that we did say 2 years ago, so we said that there is a big machlekes of Rishonim about if a person hires somebody, let's say, to build a house for a whole year, and now the non-Jew wants to do some of the work on Shabbos. So we, as Rabbi Natan was making on that shayla, most of the Rishonim are machmir on that shayla. We assume that on Shabbos that's a problem. On Shabbos it's a problem. On Yom it's a problem. Maybe even on Chol HaMoed it's a problem. So we assume that if you have any kind of building or construction, anything going on in your house on Shabbos, so that's not appropriate, even though you hired the person as a general contractor before Shabbos. We try to avoid that on Shabbos if one is able to. We always have a shayla. What if I tell the non-Jew not to come? Then he goes and he comes anyway. So my mechuyev to tell him to leave. So that's also machlekes in the poskim. Whether sometimes they tell him to leave, he doesn't leave. So okay, what are you going to do? You arrest the guy. What are you going to do? He comes. He's doing the work. But lechatchila, we assume we should try to tell the guy to leave. If a person comes to your house to do the work on Shabbos, really preferable to tell him not to come today.
It's a Jewish builder, you have to specify.
A Jewish builder, right? Jewish builder, you have to
specify the time of the contractor, they can't work.
I don't know, I have to write it to the guy, you have to tell him he can't come on Shabbos. So even though on Shabbos we tend to be machmir in this, the Mishnah Berurah says, Me'ika Mikra Din, in terms of the 9 days, obviously much more lenient, so then we're more makel about this. That if a person hired somebody to work on the house for X amount of time, and he started from before, and now he just happens to show up after Rosh Chodesh, so technically speaking that would be okay. Nevertheless, the Mishnah Berurah writes, and not everybody agrees to it, so therefore the chetchila, well, it's a big tzorech, the guy's willing, sometimes it is a big tzorech, sometimes if you tell the guy not to come for a week, he'll tell you, okay, I won't come for a week, I won't come for another 6 months either. Even if he tells you he's coming for the week, he may not show up for the 6 months. Anyone who's done construction knows the ins and outs of construction. I see some people, some faces dropping from the remembrance of those difficult days. So I saw there was a study once, in terms of what is the highest sources of stress in a person's life. So it was just punk when we were building a house. So I think it was number two, after some very, very serious types of stress, like construction was up there on the list. So anyway, so getting back to this story, so the Mishnah Berurah says that l'chatchila, it's better to try to avoid it. If one can avoid all kind of building and stuff during the 9 days, it's better to do that. But me'ika mikra din, if the guy started before and then it's a b'derech kabla, and if non-Jews was doing the work, so technically speaking, that would be okay. It means it wouldn't be. It means we're not as concerned about the Maris Ayin here. That's such a serious Maris Ayin. The Mishnah Berurah writes that if it's a makom mitzvah, so he quotes the Rishonim who say that for sure it's mutter. So if you're building a shul or something, a mikvah and things like that, so that wouldn't be subject to this discussion altogether. So we had this issue when we were building our house. So we had started the construction. We bought the house at the end of June, so we had started the construction then. And then Punkin came in the middle of the summer, so came Rosh Chodesh Av. So it rained like every day. I remember the entire week of, when it rains during the 9 days, so the only people who are upset are the lifeguards, because they feel that they're losing, because anyway they're off at camp from swimming, so they want it to rain the rest of the summer so they can get the whole summer off. But it was raining for the whole week of Chodesh Av. So I was thinking, okay, no, Baruch Hashem, so no one's going to do any construction, they're not going to come. Then Punko figured the sun comes out, Erev Tisha B'Av. So the whole crew comes, the entire crew comes, Akam Mikol Kol, Erev Tisha B'Av, they're starting banging away. So that year I was up in the mountains. My wife was home. It was in the middle of the week, so my wife was home. So she calls me Tisha B'Av morning. Said, "You won't believe it, but they're putting up the frame of the house. The entire house is being built. Mamash on Tisha B'Av." So I said, so two reasons, Yesh L'Hokl. I said, first of all, I said, Me'ika Mikra Din, it's Mutter, because it was a Kabbalah, and the Kabbalah started his work from beforehand, even though the Mishnah Berurah said, L'chatchila, to avoid that, but this was B'machah Mitzvah, because it wasn't just a house, they were putting up the frame of the shul. So, and if I tell them, they can only work on the shul today, they can't work on the other side of the house, it wasn't going to work. So whatever they were doing, that B'machah Mitzvah, so the Mishnah Berurah says, B'machah Mitzvah, it's even L'chatchila. So in case anyone's interested, the actual frame of Orat Torah was put up on Tisha B'Av, believe it or not.
Couldn't you analyze that differently? That the reason why construction of your house would not be permitted during the 9 days because of personal simcha, they're happy with your house. But when you deal with an institution kind of thing, a shul or a mikveh, it's not a personal simcha. It's a community kind of thing, and that's
okay.
And something else. That's not what I think is usher to happen on.
Okay, you have to talk to the people in charge of the mikveh committee. It's probably a great simcha for them to see the mikveh be put up. So I don't know. Whatever it is, the Mishnah Berurah's make a lot of it's a mitzvah. So again, so the two things that the Gemara speaks about in terms of Mishnah Nichnas Av Mematim. So one is Mematim the Simcha in terms of Mekach Chomemka, with the different opinions what Mekach Chomemka means. And the other din that appears in the Gemara is the idea of trying to minimize the amount of construction that's not absolutely critical during the period of the 9 days as well. There are other things that we practice during the 9 days which are not really din of the Gemara, which are the sources in different Minhagi Yisrael. So we'll try to go through some of the more famous ones now. So one of the most famous ones is the Isra Bos of Yayin. So where does the Isra Bos of Yayin come from? They're not allowed to have meat, not allowed to have wine. So the Rishonim point out that this is based on the Gemara at the end of the third Perekah of Bava Basra. The Gemara tells us that at the time when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, there were a group of individuals who decided they're going to refrain from eating meat and drinking wine. Lagamra means, how can they eat meat and drink wine if their own meat is brought as a korban, wine is brought as a korban? We spoke about yesterday in the Shia, wine is put in the Mizbeach. How can we eat meat and drink wine at a time of korban? So the Chachamim, when they heard about these individuals, so they said to them, it's an interesting idea. They said, but if you really want to be consistent, so you should stop eating fruit also, because fruit used to be brought as bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash. So how can you partake of fruit if there's no more bikurim? So they said, you're right, we're not gonna have bikurim anymore, we're not gonna have fruit anymore. So then the Chacham said to them, you really should stop eating bread, because flour and oil, water was brought on the Mizbeach, a carbon mincha, so it's not appropriate to eat the bread anymore. So they said, yeah, it's a good way to start to lose weight. So they said, yeah, you're talking right, we're going to stop that. So then the Chum said to them, you should stop drinking water, because that we can't. You stop drinking water, because water used to be brought on the Mizbeach, Nisach HaMayim on Sukkis, so it's not appropriate. So the people said, wait a second, so we can't have meat, and can't have wine, and can't have fruit, can't have bread, and can't have water, so what should we have? So the Chum said to them, you see that even though your Kavana is proper, even though you really have the right intention, your heart's in the right place, but you can't make such a gezeira. You can't make such a decree to stop eating meat and wine. It's not possible, the Gemara says, that it's a gezeira she'en rov tziv yichol lamed, but you can't make a gezeira that all of Klal Yisrael should stop eating meat and wine. It's not shaykh to do that. So therefore, the Chachamim said that we're not going to make it as a nissa. We're not going to prohibit eating meat and drinking wine, even though it makes sense what the people are saying. They're not off base what they're saying, but Abba Bichem, we're not going to do it. So that's what the Rishonim write, that even though the Chacham said it's a gezeirish and rov tzibuch lama, but we can't accept such a gezeirah the entire year, but 1 week a year we can accept it. It means 1 week a year we can follow what we really should all have been doing. None of us should be having meat and wine ever the whole year as a zeichah l'chorban, as a zeichah to the karbonas that are not brought anymore, the nesachim that are not brought anymore. But we can't institute it the whole year. At least for 1 week of the year we will institute it. And that's where the minute comes from. That's why the ma'aseh we refrain from bosav yayin. It's not because of avel is proper, because after all, an avel is not a bosav yayin. There's nothing wrong with an avel during shiva eating bosav yayin. An onain is not allowed to eat bosav yayin, but an avel is permitted to have Bosav Yayin. So our refraining from Bosav Yayin in the 9 days has nothing to do with, it's not a fables proper. It's a specific Zeich L'Churban based in that Gemara of the Basra. Since the whole prohibition of Bosav Yayin is only B'Teres Minag, therefore the Rishonim write that when it's a specific Mokom Mitzvah, so then we lift this Isur. One of the examples, the obvious examples on Shabbos, so Shabbos is Mutlach Etchila, to have Bosav Yayin. But there are other lower level types of Simchas, which we also, the Minig is to permit Bosav Yayin. So of course the most famous one is Asiyah Masechta. So there are more rites that the Minig Yisrael is, the Minig in our communities, is to be maker when you have Asiyah Masechta. The only thing is there are more rites that you should be careful. You don't have invite millions of people to the Siyah. You should try to invite, a bare minimum kinds of people. So the post can give different guidelines. You should have dafka minyan, maybe a little bit more than a minyan, your relatives, your friends, but it shouldn't be as a hefkevelt in terms of a seal. So there is a famous kula from Moshe Feinstein that has become the source for the minig in the last 50 years or so, called the camp kula, that Rav Moshe writes that the poskim, the earlier poskim write, that you're allowed to have your bnei bayis, you're allowed to have your family members, and then after your immediate family members, then you can invite a few friends, a few extra people to make the minyan. But the fact you're allowed to make a scene with your family, that's for sure okay. You would make a scene with your family any other day of the year, so of course you're allowed to make a scene with your family. So Rav Moshe writes that if a person goes to camp, so he has a very, very big family for those 2 months. He's got 1,000 kids. Those are his bnei bayis. He eats everyone 3 meals a day with the same people all the time for the whole summer. So for the summertime, they're considered to be his bnei bayis. So therefore, Moshe said that in a camp setting, so everybody's considered to be part of the one, I should say one big happy family, but at least not from Kalawa, but one big family, so everyone's all happy together, eating together. So that's considered to be a right. That's considered to be not a violation of what the Ramah says, that you should try to minimize people, because family members, you're not mechuyav to minimize. So all the people in camp are considered to be bnei habayis. So then the question is, how far does that go? So let's say a person goes to a hotel. So if you're in a hotel for a week, you're in a hotel for 2 weeks, So maybe all the, you're eating with the same people. You're all eating in the same dining room. You can extend that. That's also maybe considered to be the B'nai Abayis. Guy goes to a restaurant. So it happens to be the people who are eating at the next table in my B'nai Abayis. And it's hard to believe. The context of Ramosha's school with camps and hotels was a little bit of kvias, a little bit of permanency. A guy runs into, Kosher Delight. So the guy at the next table can be part of a siyum. It sounds a little bit strange. So therefore one should only minimize this school of Ramosha. One should limit it to the case that Ramosha originally had it by. But the camps and the hotels, things of that nature. Even there are others who didn't like it. There were contemporary poskim who had issues with it. There was a whole series of articles a couple of years ago in one of the magazines about should we follow this Pesach Ramosha, not follow Pesach Ramosha. So somebody wrote some strong, very, very sharp article about how terrible it is the camps are doing this, that they're teaching the kids to have meat and not to want to have meat in the 9 days. It's a terrible, terrible thing. Said, who told them it's mutter? So somebody else wrote back, who told them it's mutter? Said, Ramosha Feinstein, Pesach in the Shalom 50 years ago, it's mutter. You want to be machme? You want to claim that it's not such proper chinuch? Okay, so you can argue, you can vilpul about it. But you can't say it's also, the God of Lador was more, particularly in this case, they asked him, the camps and the Catskills asked him 50 years ago. So he was Mekel, so it's hard to say it's also. So again, yesh v'yesh. Some will do this, and some will don't do this. But I found in my years in camp, over the last couple, when I used to go back to Marasha, so the siyums would take so long. Because until they would get everybody together, normally a normal dinner took about 10 minutes. You go and you grab your food, but the siyums, until everyone sat down, until the guy made the siyums, the guy gave a whole hadron for an hour and a half. So I usually had my kids. My wife would only come on for Shabbos. So I had three of my kids with me. So they couldn't sit so long. It was such a... So I decided for us, it was much easier to go pizza. My kids like pizza anyway, so we used to have 5 nights in a row pizza. We could run down to Lake Como Pizza, in case anyone knows where that is. It may have been a greater simcha for the kids than the meat, but the no. Yesh v'yesh. Anyway, so Meikir Mikra did its mutter based on Ramosha's Pesach, but there are some who didn't like to follow this. There are other situations that arise where also considered to be Mapa Mitzvah. So we have bris, things like that, also considered to be Mapa Mitzvah. Then the Rambam discusses the issue of the wine of Havdalah. So that's also considered to be a Mokha Mitzvah. On Shabbos, you're allowed to drink wine, so the wine of Abdullah is also a Mokha Mitzvah, so Mikra, then you're allowed to drink that also. Nevertheless, the Ramah writes that since Shabbos is already over, and there's a way to avoid it, you should try to avoid it. How do you avoid it? So you give it to a child. So the Ramah writes that the proper practice on Mitzvah Shabbos of Chazon is to recite Havdalah on wine, or grape juice, whatever it is we said last night. You make Havdalah into grape juice, and then rather than the person drinking it himself, so he gives it to a child to drink. So what kind of a child is able to drink it? So the Ramah, the later post can point out, you have to be very, very careful how old this child is. If the child's too young or too old, it's going to be a problem. If the child's too young, it's a two-year-old, you're going to give them the grape juice to drink. So that's a problem, because the child is lohigil chinuch habracha. So the child doesn't know how to make a bracha yet. So then it's a bracha of a talah for me. So I'm making a bar priyagof, and the kid's not listening, he's not answering on me, he doesn't know what's going on. So then that's mamash a bracha of a talah. So that's a problem. But if the child is too old, the poskim say, if he already understands the concepts of Churban and Tisha B'Av and Yerushalayim, so then you're not supposed to give children that age also to drink during the 9 days. So what do you accomplish? So you're going to go for a 2-year-old child, that's no good, and you go for a 12-year-old child, that's no good. So you got to aim it right in the middle. So the poskim say, he should be old enough that he's Higil L'chinuch HaBrachas. So he's already, I don't know, what age the kids start to make brachas? I don't know. When do you start to make brachas?
I don't know.
5, 6, and around then. But he doesn't. Most 6-year-olds don't know too much about the Beis Hamikdash. Don't know too much about the Tisha B'Av. Somewhere at that age, 6, 7, of Erech, that should be the age you should try to aim for. Remember, when I used to was at Marsha Kolos, so Baruch Hashem, we always had a constant flow of kids who were that age. We had Rabbi Hulis, between Rabbi Hulis' kids and Rabbi Cohn's kids, so we never had any problem. We always had multiple 6 or 7-year-olds to say it. And the later years, my kids started to be the volunteers for that. So one should try Lechetchila to do that. What if it's not available? Since the child is not available, so the Ramah writes, so you make Avdol yourself. So big deal. So you drink the wine yourself. It's not so terrible. Because Mikra, then it's Mutta, since it's a kosher bracha, it's a kosher mitzvah, it was never included in the minig in the first place. So there's a common problem. Sometimes you make Avdol at 9:45 at night, the kids are sleeping. So you're not mechuyav to wake up your kid unless you're going to watch him for the rest of the night. But go be, you're going to be frum. You're going to wake up your kid and then your wife's going to have to deal with him. So you're not mechuyav to do it. Just make Avdol yourself and drink the wine yourself and shine and don't worry about it. The Ramah himself is Mekel if there's no child around. A girl may good thing could also drink. Yeah, so that's so we try to avoid. The Ramah doesn't write that. The Ramah writes not to use beer. The Ramah writes not to use wine to drink it yourself, because we really try to avoid using these types of chamar medinas for avdala. Really, chatchili, you're supposed to make avdala on wine or in grape juice. Chamar medina is reserved only for situations where there's mamash nothing available. There's no wine available. Then you can discuss chamar medina. Or in very, very unique situations, like the groys of the minhag on Motzei Pesach, to recite avdala and beer, because he felt that it was such a chavivos, so excited to have chametz. So that's like gives the beer a special status. But in the normal, regular Motzei Shabbos, it's really not appropriate to recite Avdala on beer. That's what we alluded to yesterday also. The saying of Kiddush on Shabbos morning on other kinds of drinks was really also for a place where there's no wine. If you have wine easily available, you're supposed to make Kiddush on wine. There are other minhagim that we have during the period of the 9 days. So the post can write that one is supposed to refrain from washing during the 9 days, just as an oval doesn't wash in a normal way. The person isn't supposed to wash during the 9 days either. So what exactly does this mean? So if you look in the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, they give you all kind of different guidelines where you're allowed to wash. A lot of wash party about it with cold water here on Friday. All kinds of different klalim. The bottom line is today, probably this minhag for the most part doesn't really exist for the following reason: that the Mishnah says in Maseches Brachos that when Rabbi Gamliel was once in Ovel, so he was washing himself, and the night that he became an Ovel, so his Talmidim asked him, the din is that an Ovel is not allowed to wash. So Rabbi Gamliel responded, he's an istinist, that he's somebody who's very delicate, so he's not going to wash for a couple of days. He's going to start to itch and scratch and feel very icky. So such a person is permitted to wash, because the hilchos aveilos are supposed to prevent the person from having pleasure. You're not supposed to have enjoyable things, but to a person is not mechuyav to be in physical pain, physical discomfort. So therefore, a person would be permitted to actually wash even in the middle of shiva if he meets the category of what's called an istinus. So you have to be careful in terms of real hilchos aveilos. A person's mamish or chamanos not sitting shiva where there's an issa gomer to wash. So then you have to really be sure that you fall into the category of an istinus to be mutter. But here we're not talking about an issa gomer, we're talking about a minig, which wasn't even acceptable to be shown him zaminig, that we refrain from showering and bathing during the 9 days. So the post can write that if a person falls into the category of an istinus, then it's going to be mutter. It's not going to be any more chomer than real avelos. So that's what many of the post can say, that today we're all istinuses in this way. That guy, the 9 days always falls out in the middle of the summer. So it's the middle of July. It's 95 degrees outside. The guy's filthy. The guy feels sick at the night if he doesn't take a shower. So that's an istinus. Mokham istinus, that's not considered to be a problem. Even without the official formal category of istinus, the post can write it. The whole purpose is just lahavir the whole purpose of showering is just to get rid of the dirt. Because he's not sitting in the Turkish bath for a while. He's not sitting in the jacuzzi. He's just going for a quick shower to get off the dirt. So that was never included in this minhag in the first place. So that's what we generally assume today. That's what I always tell people, that they should just take their regular showers in the 9 days. And they shouldn't sit in the jacuzzi. Shouldn't go sit in the tub, whatever. Should go quickly, take a quick shower and get the dirt off and shine.
As
long as the purpose of why you're taking the shower is to just get rid of the dirt, mikra, then you could use anything. So if you're going quickly, in and out quickly. Baruch Hashem, most of the places where I've been in the summer in camps, so most of the time the showers are not so hot anyway. You never know when you try. The shower goes hot and cold at whim, so it's not such a big time to take showers in camps. But otherwise, first you should take a quick shower and out and get rid of the dirt in your mind.
Okay.
No, the minig is not to have meat and love macha. What? Even a sitzus mitzvah, the minig is not to have meat and love macha. There's one day in Postman says that any meat that's left over from Shabbos you can still have during the week. Once it's mutter to have the children on Shabbos, you can have the children the rest of it. The minig is not, we don't follow that. Included in this minig of not showering is not swimming either. That's what general minhag is, that we try to avoid swimming during this time. That's a type of a washing and bathing that's more enjoyable. Unless a person also mamash says, is this guy so unbelievably uncomfortable, the only thing that's gonna chill him out is gonna jump into the pool for a second, all right? So then he can begin to discuss it. The guy take a shower or something. But for most circumstances, one should try to avoid swimming during this period as well. There are other Isurim that appear in the 9 days which are rooted in the halacha itself, but they're rooted in the halacha, what's called Shavuot Shechal B'Tisha B'Av. The Mishnah speaks about, the Gemara in the end of the second time, speaks about the halachas of Shavuot Shechal B'Tisha B'Av. So the week that Tisha B'Av itself falls out in is more chomer. Certain things one is not allowed to do. Also, l'sapar l'chapes. One is not permitted to get a haircut in Shavuot Shechal B'Tisha B'Av, and one is not permitted to wash his clothes in Shavuot Shechal B'Tisha B'Av. So taking a haircut is not relevant for us, because there are more quotes in the minig that we don't take haircuts already from Shavuot B'Tamuz. So obviously you're not going to take one during Shavuot Shechal B'Tisha B'Av, but l'chabes, the issur of laundering, so that already becomes relevant for us. So to do laundry during Shavuot Shechal B'Tisha B'Av is a real problem. That's, this year happens to be the longest possible Shavuot Shechal B'Tisha B'Av, because it's on a Thursday. But the Ramah writes that our minig is to extend that issur of doing kibbutz even all the way back to Rosh Chodesh Av. So that's what the Ashkenazi custom is. We do not do laundry starting already from Rosh Chodesh Av. What does it mean we don't do laundry? So there are two parts of not doing laundry. So there's one part of not doing laundry, just the act of doing laundry itself is problematic. Even if one's not going to wear those clothes, one wants to do laundry for after Tisha B'Av, that's a problem. And second of all, what is not supposed to wear, begadim mechubasim, things that were just recently washed, so one is not supposed to wear them either. So what exactly does that mean, things that are just recently washed? So the Pesachei Teshuvah and Hilchas Avelos points out, where this halach also appears, is that this doesn't apply to big day zeya. This doesn't apply to things which a person wears so close to the body that they always change. They constantly have to change. So that was never included in this issa. Why is that? So the Pesachei Teshuvah writes, that's istinus. Tell a guy's got to walk around the same dirty undershirt for a week. So that's not shayach. So in terms of, that's called an istinus. So a person would be permitted to change whenever he feels the necessity to change those things, even during Shiva itself. So for sure, during the 9 days, that would be permissible as well. The Pesachei Teshuvah writes that even though it doesn't say this in the Shulchan Aruch, he says, how come the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah don't point this out when the Shulchan Aruch speaks about the Yisr of an Ilchus Avelos of wearing clothes that were just washed? So the Pesachei Teshuvah writes, Bitoch Rov Pshituso. He says, it's so obvious, anyone could have figured it out on your own, that the Yisr doesn't apply to undershirts and underwear and socks and things like that. That's what the Shulchan Aruch didn't bother to say. That's what I'm thinking is. We assume that during the 9 days, so one is permitted to wear freshly washed, you're not allowed to wash it during the 9 days. You should prepare everything for beforehand, but whatever was prepared beforehand, you're permitted to wear your underwear, undershirt, socks, things like that. Those have to go with to put on quote unquote fresh during the 9 days. So what is considered to be also things which are not like that, say pants, I don't know, sweaters, suits, I don't know, things like that. So one should be careful not to wear them freshly washed during the 9 days. What does it mean freshly washed? So the poskim quoted Ramah at Hilchas Avelos, where the Ramah speaks about a similar idea that an ovel is not permitted to do laundry during Shiva. So the Ikra din of kibbutz for an ovel is only during Shiva, not during Shloshim. Shloshim, there are other Isurim during Shloshim. There are Isurim of pressing clothes and ironing, things of that nature. But just washing clothes during Shloshim, the Ikra din is mutar. But there are some Rishonim who say it's also. Taisus quotes one day in the Riva that has his pshat in the Gemara that even regular laundering is also during Shloshim. So we don't really pass in that way. But that's what the minig is. The minig is that avail, even during Shloshim, don't wear freshly washed clothes. It's a different story, but they don't wear freshly washed clothes during the entire Shloshim. So the Ramah writes that since it's only a minig, it's not mikra din, so therefore the minig is that as long as somebody else wears it for a short amount of time, that's not considered to be wearing something freshly washed. So that's what the Ramah says, that's what you should do, is that for an oval during Shloshim, let's say, wants to wear a pair of pants that was just washed, so he should have somebody else put them on for a short amount of time, puts it on and shine, and then the oval could put it on afterwards. So the poskim in concerning the days of the week of Tisha B'Av, so quote the same story, since the whole Yisurim here are not Mamish Mikra Din, some of them maybe are a little bit more chomer than Avelos, but the minig has become as follows, that as long as somebody else puts them on for you, then it's okay. What do you mean somebody else? When it comes to Shloshim, so you find a non-Ovel, when it comes to Tisha B'Av, who's going to be the somebody else? Everybody's an Avelos for Tisha B'Av. So the answer is you have to do it yourself, you have to do it before the 9 days. So a person has to be careful to put the clothes on before Rosh Chodesh, and then when comes Rosh Chodesh Av, so that's not considered to be putting on fresh clothes. That's what it's based on. It's based on that Ramon of this Avelos, then in real Avelos, you get somebody else to do it. In Tisha B'Av, you have to do it yourself before Rosh Chodesh. So this is the source for the age-old practice. Anyone who ever went to camp knows the massive error of Rosh Chodesh Av, everyone putting on 1,500 shirts and pants and walking around looking like, and right before Rosh Chodesh Av. So that's what the poskim say, one should try to do it. Not so silly, but one should try to do that. So again, underwear and undershirts and socks and things like that, you don't have to try on. Other kinds of clothes which are not big day zeya, so then one should really put on for a short amount of time. There is a machlokes, the contemporary Ravonim, as to whether this applies to shirts or not. Are shirts considered to be a big day zeya or not? So Rav Shimon Eider, his sefer for the 3 weeks, that became like the classic sefer for all the camps to Paskin, like all the 3 week shilas. So he assumed the chumrah in the shilas. He assumed that shirts are like pants and not like underwear. So therefore you would have to put on all your shirts before and also. And Rabbi Willink thought that wasn't right. He thought that shirts, the guy changed the shirts every day. Should change every other day, the third day, fourth day, whatever. For us to change the shirts pretty often. So he thought that also qualifies as a big day zay, and therefore there would be no need to put it on. So yesh v'yesh, different camps have different minhagim about this. But the basic guidelines, the big day zay do not have to be put on before, and then other begadim should be put on before, so that exists. How long do they have to be put on from before? So there's no halacha moshesimei how long. So the Shachanuch HaZavelos writes that, not so long, an hour or two, that's his lashon. So others say, an hour or two is left off, an hour or two, a minute or two, whatever. It's a heck, it should be a little bit, a short amount of time that beforehand. So Big Day Shabbos is a machlekes, the Ramon, the Gro, where all these things apply to Big Day Shabbos. So the Ramon writes that on Shabbos Chazon, so one should not wear Shabbos clothes. The Ramon's minig was that you should treat it like mamash like avelos, and you shouldn't wear Shabbos clothes. And the Gro writes that it's not appropriate. The Gro says, forget, you should have to wear Shabbos clothes on Shabbos Chazon, and you can wear freshly washed clothes, etc. So that Ramon's l'shitaso nuchas avelos. The Ramon writes that an ovel for the whole Yud Beis Chodesh shouldn't wear Shabbos clothes. You shouldn't get dressed up for Shabbos. You should wear his weekday clothes the entire year of avelos. That's what the Ramon writes. And the minig is that the Brikei Yosef writes that many communities didn't follow that Ramon. What was it based on? Should you wear Shabbos clothes, not wear Shabbos clothes? So I think the Brikei Yosef, if I'm not mistaken, writes that it depends on the situation, it depends on the community, it depends whether people, most people were able to afford two suits or not. So in the days of the Ramah, so people were very poor in Krakow. They didn't have anything in Krakow. I saw Krakow. The whole Jewish town of Krakow where the Ramah lived was three blocks. The Jews weren't allowed to live outside of the three blocks. Yeah. Thousands of people living in three tiny blocks, I'm sure two by nothing. So people were very poor. So many people weren't able to afford Shabbos suits. So therefore, if a person would walk with the shul wearing a weekday suit, wearing his work clothes or something, people wouldn't think that he was an avelos. So it wouldn't be a violation of avelos for hasya. So the isser is on Shabbos, you're not supposed to show public manifestations of avelos. So if a guy walks into shul wearing his work clothes, so people are going to think, Nebuch, the guy's poor, doesn't have any money. So no one's going to say, oh, because he's an avelos. That's why half the shul is wearing weekday clothes. So if that's the case, then it's takva. You can wear weekday clothes for an avel. It wouldn't be considered to be a bizayon of Shabbos. If you live in a community where Baruch Hashem people have a little bit more money, it's Vilna. That was real rich Jews in Vilna in the 17th where the girl lived. So if you live in a community where everybody has Shabbos clothes, you can have one guy who's going to pop into shul wearing his weekday clothes. So everyone's going to realize, oh, that guy, because he's in avelos. That's not right. That's avelos for Hesia. So that's where the girl felt that to tell people to wear weekday clothes would be mamash avelos for Hesia. The same would be true in Shabbos Chazon. Then in Shabbos Chazon, everyone's going to come to shul with their weekday clothes. Everyone's going to realize, wait a second. This is Shabbos Chazon. This is not right. This is avelos for Hesia. So therefore, the Gro said the minig should be dafka not to wear the weekday clothes on Shabbos. You dafka wear Shabbos clothes on Shabbos Chazon. That's what the minig in our communities at Baruch Hashem we're able to afford Shabbos clothes. So you can imagine what Shabbos Chazon would look like. Everyone walk with the shul in their weekday outfits. So that would not be appropriate. That would be a design of Shabbos. That would be avelos for Hesia, and that would not be permissible. So therefore, our minig is both in terms of a real avel. Nobody follows this Ramah today. Everybody. Real Avelim wear Shabbos clothes the whole Yud Beis Chodesh, and who are denami in Shabbos Chazon, I'm going to wear Shabbos clothes, and therefore the poskim say you can put in a clean Shabbos suit and a clean Shabbos shirt, whatever, you don't have to worry about having put it on from beforehand. When do all these minhagim and dinim / minhagim of the 9 days end? So there's machlekes in the Gemara about it when it ends. So we paskin that there's one day in the Gemara that says Shavuot Shechabot Tisha B'Av applies even after Tisha B'Av. Means the whole week of Tisha B'Av you have to keep these halachos. And we paskin only until Tisha B'Av itself. So Mikra din, once Tisha B'Av is over, all these things are over. Nevertheless, there is a minig that appears in the Shulchan Aruch and then the Ramah a little bit in a different way, that we extend many of these dinim and then many of these minhagim into the 10th of Av. And the reason being is that the Gemara tells us that most of the Beis HaMikdash actually burnt on the 10th of Av. The fire was started in the 9th of Av. That's why Chazal instituted Tisha B'Av to be Tisha B'Av. But since a lot of the Beis HaMikdash was still burning through much of the day of 10th of Av, so therefore, to remember that, we observe quasi Avelos into the 10th of Av as well. There are more rites that Aminig is to until Chatzos. I can't believe you say until Chatzos on Yud B'Av. That's what we observe Avelos. So here, there are a few exceptions to this rule. But this minig of extending the Avelus into the tent of Av sometimes is limited. So let's say, for example, let's say if Tisha B'Av is a Nidcha, if Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos and is pushed off until Sunday, so then there's no purpose of observing Avelus on Sunday night. It's not the tent of Av, it's 11th of Av already. So then all the minhagim and the halachas of the 9 days end with the end of Tisha B'Av. The only thing is, the Ramah writes, you shouldn't have Bosa V'Yayin. Sit down and Matzoi Tisha B'Av and have a barbecue or something. That's already this pastnish. That's not appropriate. But you can take a shower. You can go. You can shave. Whatever you want to do. You can do the laundry on Matzoi Tisha B'Av. If it's not really Tisha B'Av, it was already Yud Ba'av. And similarly, the Poskim Amekel, that there are more rights that let's say if Tisha B'Av falls out like this year, so Tisha B'Av is going to be on a Thursday. Hopefully it won't be Tisha B'Av, but if it'll be on a Thursday. So then Matzoi Tisha B'Av, technically speaking, you really shouldn't be doing laundry. You shouldn't really be getting hair. You shouldn't be shaving. But here, it's a problem of Kavod Shabbos. If you're going to tell somebody you can't do the laundry until 12 or until 1 o'clock in the afternoon the next day, no one's going to have underwear for Shabbos. No one's going to have shirts for Shabbos. So you tell somebody you can't get a haircut till tomorrow afternoon. The barber's going to be so jammed, no one's going to have time to get haircuts. So therefore, there are more rights that when Tisha B'Av falls out on Thursday, the whole thing is only a minig anyway. So they've been mocking Kavod Shabbos as soon as Tisha B'Av is over. Whatever is necessary for Kavod Shabbos would be permissible. So therefore, the haircuts would be permissible. Laundry would be permissible. Shaving, what's the big tzorach to shave? Shave tomorrow afternoon also. That's tricky. Bosa v'yayin is not permissible. Other things, music, other kinds of things. So what's the big tzorach? What's the big Kavod Shabbos for that? You got to get the Kalbach tapes going already. So you wait till after Chatzos to start the music. So whatever is not absolutely necessary for Kavod Shabbos, one should really push off. But under normal circumstances, one should avoid whatever the Isurim and the Minhagim of the 9 days should really extend until Chatzos of Motzai Tisha B'Av. Remember a couple of years ago there was a big crisis in some of the camps. What was the crisis? Called poor planning. The poor planning was that they planned a changeover day from the camps, the day between the two halves of camp. So they planned changeover day on Motzai Tisha B'Av. The way the calendar worked out well for them. So changeover day in camp was Motzai Tisha B'Av. What was the problem? So there was the problem was that all the mothers wanted to send up the kids with clean clothes. But they hadn't done the laundry in the last 9 days, so you're going to go send up your kid to camp for the first day of camp. The kids were coming for August, so they're going to come up with a suitcase with a trunk full of filthy filthy clothes. So that was a problem. So there was a big tumult that year about, is it mutter to do the laundry on Motzoi Tisha B'Av that year? What's the kula? Our mother doesn't talk about change over there. What's the kula? The kula is, I don't know what the kula is. The kula is a tzarekol. It's a big hefset. It's a big something. I don't know, whatever it is. The kid's going to have dirty underwear for the first week until it gets laundry done. So was that enough grounds to be making? I don't know. So some people were asking what my opinion was. So the truth is that the Mishnah Berurah alludes to the fact that not all the poskim accepted this minig of waiting until Chatzos on the next day. The Mishnah Berurah says that there are some achronim who write the minig was only for basa v'yayin. It wasn't for laundry and showers and haircuts. Those things were never included in the minig. But the Mishnah Berurah is not naked on that. Mishnah Berurah writes that most of the poskim quoted this minig even concerning the showering and the laundry. So he thinks the proper thing to do is to follow this minig. I don't know, those are Shasat Chachet. What are you going to do otherwise? The kid's going to be stuck with dirty laundry for a week. So, those who wanted to rely on the Mekilim. I don't know, it's hard for me to say. But it was just a little bit of a poor planning in terms of nobody chop that thing. I remember when I was one summer, I'd gone up to, one of the summers before, I was in Marasha. So I'd been in L.A. for the summer, and it was the end of the summer. So I went up to another camp for a couple of days to say some shiurim, and it happened to have been over Tisha B'Av. So it was Matzoi Tisha B'Av, and the Matzoi Tisha B'Av that year was also like this year. Tisha B'Av was on a Thursday. So it was Matzoi Tisha B'Av, so the people in the camp were tumbling about is it right for us to rely on this kula of doing the laundry on Matzoi Tisha B'Av itself. Maybe we should wait until Friday morning. Why don't you wait for a man? I don't understand. There was a whole tumult. Everyone was tumult. I don't know what they were talking about. I said, the Ramah says that it's mutter. The Ramah says that whatever is necessary to do. So you're allowed to do. You're not going to start making cheshbonos. So they were tiny. Now we can get it all done in the morning. So what's the matter of the morning? I don't know. I'm not sure. There's a lot of terrorists going in camp in this area. But I said, the bottom line is the Ramah says that in this year, so whatever is necessary to cover Shabbos would be permissible to do. Whatever is not necessary to cover Shabbos, so one should refrain from doing. Who is included in all these minhagim that we're speaking about? So obviously anyone over Bar Bav Mitzvah is included in this, but even children should be included in this. Also, even though generally we do not have, there's no chinuch for avelos, so Rechman Letzlan, the child loses a relative, so the child's under Bar Bav Mitzvah, they don't sit shiva. We pass Shah and Rishon, but we pass in Shulchan Aruch that there's no shiva, there was no chinuch, that Chazal never instituted chinuch for avelos. One of the reasons it's given is that chinuch is supposed to train the person to do the mitzvahs that we want him to do when he gets older. So we want him to learn how to put on tefillin, learn how to sit in the sukkah, to wear tzitzit, the shofar. You don't want to train a child in avelos. Chalil, chalil. You don't want to get him to the habit of sitting shiva. So they never instituted the chinuch for avelos. Nevertheless, the Magen Avraham writes in Hilchos Tisha B'Av that the avelos for the churban that they did institute. That the minhag is that even children should be trained in this area. So there's a shayla in the poskim about just how old these children are. So some poskim said that at least they're gil chinuch something, but you have to train a 2-year-old. You can't give meat to a 2-year-old. That's what some said. Others said, yeah, even to a 2-year-old, you shouldn't give any children, you shouldn't give anybody boss of a yayin, shouldn't give them. Everyone should be in that. It's a velos to rob him. Everybody should be included, even mitaf, even from the littlest children. So, no, depends on the kid. Some kids they only eat. My kids only eat one thing. My son only eats schnitzel. That's it. Doesn't eat anything else. So if you just the kid only eats schnitzel, you can tell the kid not to eat for the whole week. So no. What are you going to do? But as much as we can try to train our children, at least slightly older children, in terms of these things. So that's really the proper mahalach. But it's a time of Eistzar. It's a time of avelos for all of Klai Yisrael. Even the children a little bit gradually should be included in this avelos as well. Okay. Stop here.
It's 4:00. So, as long as it's the Shabbos. That's the kid's Shabbos.